It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So can an English degree help you achieve your career goals? And full disclosure here, I was an English major. We examined the decline of university-based humanities programs over the decades and why a turnaround may be underway. Call in with questions and thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jerry Canavan is an associate professor and chair of the English department at Marquette University. Jerry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for having us today.
Yes, and your colleague, Elizabeth Angeli, is an associate professor of English and spiritual director at Marquette. Liz, welcome.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Well, Liz, let's start with you. You've certainly digested these headlines about the death of humanities programs in higher ed. What is your reaction to these obituaries?
Well, I think that they're misinformed. You know, they are based on statistics. We have declining majors, but there's a self-fulfilling prophecy going on. You know, if we keep running the headlines of the English major is dead, who's going to want to major in it? Mm. You know, and there is a job crisis related to that, but it's really not for people outside of academia. You know, the humanities jobs in academia are shrinking. They have been, because we don't have the majors and it sort of just keeps going. But the humanities is alive and well. And I hope that we can stop telling ourselves that the humanities, which really is the glue that holds our world together, you know, it's communication, curiosity, innovative thinking, empathy. We engage in these skills all the time. And to tell ourselves that we're not using these skills or that they don't have value is really risky and, quite frankly, short-sighted.
So alive and well, Jerry, not in free fall. How do you know?
How do we know? So you can see in our majors, we had a local low around 2019, and then we started to jump up again. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of that is English departments and humanities departments kind of adapting to a changing student demographic, kind of recognizing some of those social narratives that Liz was talking about and correcting them. And some of it is just, you know, we're living through a moment where everybody is talking about the humanities all the time, right? If you look at the top three kind of political stories, right, at any given moment, it's somebody having a big fight about what we do in the humanities.
You know, what's curious to me is that here we are having this robust debate over the situation in the humanities, which is an example of the critical thinking and discussion that the humanities foster. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerry, do you feel like this is, I mean, we've seen this debate going on now for a long time, and I'm wondering, is this type of debate, is it healthy or does it hurt?
Oh, I mean, I'm all for all sorts of debates, and I think what we're seeing is a kind of social discussion around the meaning of history, the meaning of literature, right? What these stories do and what they mean for people, what they inspire. You know, again, I point to, you know, there's a lot of concern in a lot of state legislatures about the humanities, right? Trying to prevent these conversations from happening, prevent people from becoming informed about their world and finding new ways to talk about it. So it's always funny to me to be told on the one hand that the English major is withering away because it's useless, and then on the other hand to see people doing more humanities work, more literary study, more writing than ever before, consuming it on Twitter, consuming it on the web, having these debates. So it's, you know, that self-fulfilling prophecy is a kind of interesting thing, because there's plenty of ways in which we see the humanities are extremely alive and well.
And Liz, what constitutes a humanity? When we're talking about the humanities here, what do we mean?
Well, I mean, when you ask academics that, they'll give you a list of disciplines, you know, philosophy, theology, history, English, you know, but it's really more than that. I mean, I have a research project that's going on right now that is seeking to answer. That's one of the questions we're seeking to answer. And we've talked with my research assistant, and I have talked with over 40 people throughout the United States, and we've asked them, how do you define the humanities? And really what we're getting back is an answer that describes a skill set, a position of being in the world, an openness to change, a willingness to have these difficult conversations that Jerry is talking about, that really, you know, a four-year degree in you know, history or philosophy will prepare you to have for the rest of your life. So it's really, I think, you know, as much as it is the study of society and humans and our relationship with the greater world and universe around us, it really is a study of who we are as people and what we're capable of when we're open to great transformation.
We are discussing the life and times of humanities majors in higher education. Liz Angeli there and Jerry Canavan, they're English professors at Marquette. And now let's bring in Serena Jameson, Dean of Culture at Pathways High School in Milwaukee, graduated last year with a master's in English from Marquette's program. Serena, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
What led you to want a master's in English? Because you taught middle and high school English for several years before pursuing a master's.
Yes, correct. So the reason why I went back to get my master's is because I eventually one day want to continue my academics and eventually get my PhD so that I could teach English at the secondary level, post-secondary level.
You know, how do you see it now with a master's degree helping your career or impacting who you are on the job?
A master's degree has definitely helped me in my role as Dean of Culture at Pathways. We really provide opportunities for students to problem solve, you know, really pushing the piece of empathy. And just being aware of the historical context that they're in and what has informed their current present. So when we're talking about my my master's degree, the communications, communication skills, the writing skills, even feedback are huge skills that I've learned when I was at Marquette and are currently implementing every day on the job.
Jerry, that probably sounds very good to you. I mean, when students study English or other humanities, what careers are they hoping to pursue?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people who do want to be professors, particularly in the graduate level. But we find that people study English because they want to do a lot of different types of things. I just got an email yesterday from a student who's graduating who's going off to the Mayo Clinic to study medicine, right? And for her, the English major she had was part of kind of the process of narrative medicine, right? How do you talk about illness? How do you talk about disability? How do we do these things together? We have people who go on, do technical writing, who do creative writing, right? I have a student who's very interested in game design, right? I taught a games class, so I actually wound up with a lot of students who are really interested in games design this term. But thinking about how you can use these sorts of skills in novel industry. So, you know, we're placing people in lots of different sorts of things. We have students who go on to professorships.
Let's bring in a call now, Carol in Milwaukee. Carol, what's on your mind?
I think any kind of learning is good. And there are people who are even against math because you can use a calculator, you can use a machine now. So why learn math? Why learn this? Why learn that? The reason we learn, and English is no exception, that's one of the deepest things, and that is so that we have a better life on an individual scale. Even inner city children can do much better just in their everyday life if they have this background in knowledge.
Carol, thank you for that. Liz, Angeli, can you feel that background in knowledge and what that can bring a person?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the beauties of a core education or core curriculum like we have at Marquette, or even just studying the liberal arts. I mean, the range of knowledge that you're introduced to, I mean, will set you up for conversations you don't even know you're going to have for the rest of your life. I mean, I did my undergrad at Marquette. I was actually a psychology major, so I wasn't in the humanities, but my minor was Italian studies. And I think back, sometimes I'm surprised how much I think back to my core classes in the humanities to just help me think about different perspectives and ask questions that, you know, other people aren't asking. You know, my psych degree serves me really well every day. It's those humanities classes that really taught me how to think and how to ask questions and really synthesize different perspectives. So it's a humanities major is more than just a career. I mean, it's setting you up to engage with the world.
Liz Angeli there, an associate professor of English, whose research is guided by the question, what can you do with a graduate degree in the humanities? We also have Serena Jameson, Dean of Culture at Pathways High School in Milwaukee, has a master's in English from Marquette, graduated last year. And Jerry Canavan chairs the English department there. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The number of humanities degrees conferred has declined sharply in the most recent years that data are available, according to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. But there is evidence of a post-pandemic revival. Share your thoughts anytime. The number to call with your question at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Marquette University English Department faculty is Jerry Canavan's here, Liz Angeli, and Serena Jameson, recent master's program graduate and dean at a Milwaukee charter school. Let's bring in Sharon in Minocqua. Sharon, hi. What would you like to add?
Hi. Yes, another great program. Thank you very much. You know, studying the languages, I think, is very important, you know, for everyone in order to learn how to communicate with each other. I mean, we're kind of losing our communication skills. But I also wanted to just mention that one of the best jobs people could get with an English degree is as a grant writer. There's a huge need for grant writers, and we have one open at Great Lakes and the Tribal Council, but there's a shortage of people with that background or even with English degrees. So just wanted to mention that there's great opportunities out there for people with an English major.
Sharon, thank you for that. Jerry, what is the state of grant writers?
Well, you know, we always tell potential students, right, that the number one job skill that any employer says they want is communication skill, you know, working with others, all these sorts of things. And that sort of kind of direct transmission of writing to either corporate or nonprofit or governmental work is a really clear path for somebody who loves English, who loves writing, and wants to kind of do that work. So we've definitely placed folks, and we have courses that are kind of devoted to that sort of writing.
That is also a kind of persuasive writing, Serena. And I'm wondering, how do you see this type of writing in your work in the charter school? Because you also help science and math teachers use the humanities.
Yes, absolutely. So when we talk about different skills in writing, especially technical writing, when we're talking about robotics. So we have a seminar where students create robots and they present their process for learning. So a big piece of that is that communication skills that we've discussed. Students need to be able to communicate effectively their process and their reflections for their project. So it definitely goes beyond the English classroom, and communication and even persuasive writing is important for the STEM world as well. How does your data prove your position in whatever you're writing? So, or talking about, our students are very, very open with their opinions, and, you know, they can back it up. And the reason why is because we really push the needle on the communications, and just understanding what it means to respond to your particular audience.
Liz, I thought it was interesting that you've trained fire departments and EMS agencies on medical report writing. What did you find there?
Well, I found that there's a lot of room for improvement in that area. And it's, you know, it's no fault of, you know, fire departments. You know, it's because, you know, they... like in a lot of science and STEM disciplines, writing is seen as like, oh, you'll figure it out on the job, or, oh yeah, this is, you know, this is the most important part of your job, but we're only going to give you an hour of training on it versus all the other skills that they have. And I found that, you know, education within fire and EMS really needs a major overhaul to integrate writing and the skills that go with it. So critical decision making, learning how to gather data, learning what types of information is important, learning how to ask patients questions, because if you don't have the data from the patient, you can't write a really good medical report. So there is a lot of room for improvement. I don't know when that's going to happen, to be quite honest, but there's definitely a need for better communicators all throughout healthcare. And the humanities, I think, is one way that we can help healthcare improve.
Liz Angeli there. We have Jerry Canavan, Marquette University English professor, Serena Jameson, a recent Marquette graduate and dean of culture at Pathways High School in Milwaukee, as we look at the decline of humanities and what the future holds. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Amber is here from Stoughton. Amber, what would you like to bring up?
Yes, hi. I would like to say that I think that tying getting a college degree with a career, a specific career, is a real mistake. To me, the goal of a liberal arts education should be, and was in the past, kind of tied to our system of government, that in a representative democracy, you need citizens who can engage with each other and can be informed on a broad range of topics. And I think that humanities are a crucial part of developing the skills of critical thinking and informed empathy, and understanding that some questions aren't yes and no, don't have yes and no answers. So whether you're studying English or history or folklore, all of those humanistic and social sciences are really important for understanding how humans communicate, the power of narrative, and essentially understanding each other better so that we can live together and work together well.
Amber, thank you so much for those words. And, you know, what about employment and perhaps bias, Jerry, you know, against the humanities, as how do you translate these skills?
Sure. I mean, that's the question we hear all the time, right? College is expensive, right? It seems to get more expensive every day. And people are going in part because they think it's a guarantor of a career. And the thing about the humanities, and English is no exception, is that, you know, if you look at the statistics, there aren't a significant difference in outcomes or job satisfaction, right? Salary, you know, opportunities for promotion and movement. Humanities majors do, you know, roughly as well as STEM majors, and they do better than a lot of so-called practical majors like business. It's the dirty secret of universities, right? The business major isn't a guarantee or pathway to business. Where humanities majors have a little bit of trouble sometimes is that first destination, right? The humanities don't have a kind of factory system the way some STEM disciplines do, right, where they hire year after year after year at the same firm. So humanities majors need a little bit of prep about how to talk about what they know how to do, how to position themselves, how to frame themselves. And that's something that we in our English department, right, as we've looked at the numbers, have really started to emphasize, right? How do you kind of make sense of yourself, your talents, your skills, and your desires to put yourself out into the world, to kind of help close that kind of initial placement gap, right? That first 6 months out. But once you get past that, you know, the humanities are still doing pretty well.
Serena, does that resonate with you? Did you have to be able to present yourself in what you had gathered in your master's degree?
Yes, but with me in education, it was a really
natural,
easy transition.
Sure.
To because I was an English teacher, and then now how that translate into more of my administrative role is a little slightly different, I will say. So as far as translating, I definitely work with students on the problem solving skills, and that's how the humanities lives through my role, like that empathy piece. How do we communicate with each other? How do we regard one another? The human aspect lives a little bit more in my current role, whereas in previous roles, I'll make sure my students are reading the necessary text or analyzing different aspects of language. It still happens. It just looks different. So I think going back to, you know, job prospects is very important for humanities majors and those who love the humanities to learn how to translate what those skills look like in their particular job placements, because everyone needs to know how to effectively communicate. Everyone needs to know how to effectively write, and just reminding ourselves that at the end of the day, we are working with people, we are working with humans. And without that human aspect, we will not solve the different issues that we're having in society today when we're talking about equity.
And let's pause there. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Depending on whom you ask, the English major is dead or a humanities revival is underway. The debate rekindled in The New Yorker characterizes the humanities in free fall at colleges around the country and here in Wisconsin. Call in with your questions, your thoughts, experiences, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jerry Canavan is chair of the English department at Marquette alongside his colleague, Liz Angeli, an associate professor and alum. And Serena Jameson is here, earned a master's in English degree last year as dean of culture for a Wisconsin charter school. Jerry, you say Marquette University is bucking the downward enrollment trend facing other humanities programs. What is Marquette doing differently?
Well, I think we're doing things that a lot of English departments have done. We've kind of looked at our requirements and kind of moved them around to meet students where they are. We have a lot of students very interested in creative writing and different modes of self-expression, and we have a new creative writing minor that's really been attractive to folks like that. And, you know, we've kind of started to emphasize some of the interdisciplinarity that our faculty do in their research, right? The way that our research in the humanities intersects work that's being done in the environment, right, and disability, right, in the medical humanities or at large, right, thinking about machine learning, right, and talking about that in our classes, right. So we're trying to, you know, demonstrate our relevance, right, and meet students with the concerns that really matter to them.
And the areas that pique their interest, I would imagine, how much can they design their work and their degree program?
So we've made it much more flexible than it used to be. When I went to college, we had a lot of historical requirements. We had a lot of coverage national literature requirements. When I first got to Marquette, we did a lot of that. And we've kind of made the major much more open to different kind of paths through. So if you want to be somebody who's very interested in creative writing, right, there's a kind of path through the major that will get you there. If you're somebody who is very interested in medieval literature, right? And at a Jesuit school, we have quite a number of people who are interested in medieval and early modern literature. There's a kind of path there for you. People who are really interested in doing the sort of writing that Liz was talking about in the last segment, right? There's a path through the major there. So we've kind of trying to demonstrate to students the way that this can impact whatever they want to do afterwards.
Let's bring in Joshua in Milwaukee. Joshua, hi. What would you like to discuss?
Yeah, I know that, and I've gotten this from working with Dr. Angela in the past, the concept of professional grammar. I think it's really huge and probably understated in this conversation that humanities majors have a really unique skill in translating some highly complicated or highly technical items into terms and ideas that individuals who aren't necessarily specialists in that field can understand. And there's a lot of value for that in a lot of diverse fields that probably goes unrecognized.
Joshua, thank you for that. Liz, can you pick up on that, taking complex things and breaking them down for people?
Absolutely. Well, I just have to say hi to Joshua because I know him, and thanks for listening and calling in. My PhD is in rhetoric and technical communication, and that's really at the core of rhetorical studies is taking, you know, ideas that really baffle people and analyzing an audience to figure out, okay, how is this audience going to react to what I'm saying? What words can I use to make an appeal to either their sense of logic, which as we all know, differs from person to person. So, you know, a kind of understanding, you know, what makes people tick. That's really one of the powers of the English major. And, you know, I'm obviously biased to rhetoric. I mean, really one of the powers that rhetoric has too. And it can help people meet in the middle, which I think we need in a lot of these conversations, is this ability to hold space for each other and listen with intent and try to understand what's going on the other side of the aisle both ways.
Joshua, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Asia now in Milwaukee. Asia, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Great discussion. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's participating. And special shout out to Serena. I am very familiar with your work in Milwaukee and your impact, the impact that you've had on young people's lives here. And I just want to say keep up the great work. We are rooting for you. My question is specifically around school funding, K-12, humanities, and workforce. And specifically, I just want to hear more innovative suggestions or ideas that you all may have given the underfunding of schools, but also the love for humanities, specifically writing, creative writing, different types of writing that our students love and that our students have the skill set to flourish and advance with. But my question is, how does innovation look in spaces where children are unmotivated or lack the motivation, but also have the skills and is struggling with identifying opportunities that fit them in the workforce?
Oh, Asia, yes, so much there. Thank you so much for calling in. Serena, you first.
Yeah, so one thing that I really, really push, especially when working with young folks, is seeing what are they interested in. I think a lot of times in education, sometimes as adults, we tend to say, oh, this is what you need to learn. But at the end of the day, as long as the skill is being really pushed, the content and the topic, I mean, you can leverage anything. So definitely providing students opportunities to demonstrate their learning in various modes, providing different opportunities, especially around the city, for students who are engaged in different things like creative arts, entrepreneurship, and things like that. So exposure is huge, especially when we're talking about students who are usually deemed unmotivated. They just haven't seen something that really spoke to them or speaks to them. So it's very important as educators, as adults, as people who are here for our kids, to provide them that space and give them that.
Liz, what comes up for you?
Yeah, I mean, really just to echo on what Jerry and Serena said, it's, you know, giving students options and then, you know, importantly, encouraging them to trust their passions, to trust, you know, their desires. I think that's one of the great joys of being able to teach at Marquette, is because we have this Jesuit tradition of discernment. So helping people identify where their deepest desires are inviting them to, and helping them, you know, say, oh, you're interested in both economics and history. Great. Dual major. See what comes forth from that. Trust where your curiosity is leading you. And it can be really awe-inspiring to watch students come to life when they're empowered to make choices that affirm what's going on at a deeper level for them.
How do you feel about that, Jerry, in terms of these students coming from a lot of different experiences in the K-12 setting? Your traditional college student has thoughts on what they've been exposed to. Where do you take that then when you're trying to bring them into the humanities?
Yeah, I think what's been said is really inspiring, right? Again, meeting students where they are means in part, you know, recognizing what their strengths currently are and kind of building on those, giving them activities and opportunities to kind of stretch their wings. Mm-hmm. We think a lot about, you know, curriculum that looks like our students, right? I think that runs from kindergarten all the way up to postgraduate, right? Diverse curriculum with a lot of different types of voices, right, that people can see themselves in. You know, it's
we were all that age, right? We all remember how it was and how vital everything felt, right, when it connected with you. And so the mission, in some sense, is just kind of activate that in a person.
We have Jerry Canavan and Liz Angeli, our Marquette University English professors, Serena Jameson here, recent Marquette graduate and Dean of Culture at Pathways High in Milwaukee. You can join in the conversation and share what comes up for you, your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Liz, you know, there is sentiment in academic circles that as American democracy erodes, becomes more dysfunctional and in this kind of perilous state, that support for the humanities also declines. Do you see a connection?
Yeah, I think this goes back to what Jerry said. I mean, the people who, you know, in a previous segment, you know, the people in power want to squash, you know, a lot of the conversations and skills that are coming out of humanities programs, training, and all that. And the research project that I'm working on right now with my research assistant, who's actually a philosophy PhD candidate, so we are interdisciplinary humanities. A lot of the folks we talked to said that the humanities is essential in preserving a democratic society, because we have to know how to encounter difference, and we have to know how to be uncomfortable and how to deal with that and not just make the bad feelings go away. Mm-hmm. You know, not just make our fear go away because, you know, or our insecurities about, you know, topics that are coming up, or, you know, I think sometimes a lot of people in power are easily threatened by what the masses are saying. And, you know, when people get scared and they're insecure, they just clench their control tighter and tighter. And we have to know how to work with that and through that so we can come out on the other side, not destroying ourselves, which is really, in a lot of ways, is what's going on right now.
Serena, how do you feel about that?
I'm definitely on the same page when we're talking about, you know, the different skills and what's being squandered. I think critical thinking is very huge, especially when we're talking about elections and what's going on politically. The ability to gather information and really fact check, really understand what's really happening is huge, especially for our young folks. And I mean, for us currently, what we understand and what we believe is going to happen will happen. So really pushing the envelope on challenging previous thought processes and, you know, just asking the question why and are there other ways to do things is very important and cannot be squandered because if it does, then we're just, you know, maintaining the status quo, which hasn't been working for the majority of people.
Serena Jameson there, Dean at a Milwaukee charter school. We have English department faculty at Marquette University, chair of the department, Jerry Canavan, and associate professor Liz Angeli. And you can join in. Still time to join the conversation. What's on your mind about the humanities? Surface your question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Is studying the humanities still relevant? We're hearing from you. Marcus from Milwaukee called, has a double major in political science and history, and says getting a four-year degree, regardless of the major, puts people at an advantage. On average, people who receive an undergrad degree have higher pay, Marcus says. Chris from Manitowoc says a humanities degree is really good for people who are in business, especially. Chris has had to hire employees for their business and is always excited when someone with a humanities degree applies. The applicant can usually succeed with a variety of environments and challenges and topics. And Chris says they see this more in people with humanities major over majors with a singular focus. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. We have Marquette English Department faculty Liz Angeli and Jerry Canavan here, along with alum Serena Jamison, who holds a master's in English. Liz, I want to return to here. What advice would you give students considering majoring in the humanities, especially in light of Chris in Manitowoc, who says, I really love it when they come my way?
I would tell anyone who's considering majoring in the humanities to trust that. If you're not sure which humanities you want to go, you know, study, be, you know, what they call undecided, or I think what they call now multi-interested. You know, I love that, because I actually love it when students don't declare their major right away, because that tells me something about the student, that they are open to being informed by whatever experiences are going to come their way. You know, they're not narrowly focused on just, I need this degree to get that job. So I just say trust, identify what you're passionate about, and what's fueling that passion. So if you love stories, well, what is it about stories that really speaks to you? And make connections with faculty right off the beginning of your career as a student, because the people who have gone before you can teach you a lot. And generally speaking, professors want that relationship with their students. I know that's something that we really strive for at Marquette. So trust it and go forth.
Serena, how are your former classmates doing in the job market?
They're doing really well. I know one of my former classmates, she's still working for her PhD. I have another classmate that is doing grant writing here in Milwaukee. So we're doing really well for ourselves. And I think that can go straight to you know, our ability to translate our skills over, and also really understanding the purpose and the value of the humanities, and especially English, because I'm biased. But one thing that Marquette did really well, and I'm going to shout out Dr. Liz Angeli, is our public facing humanities course that really had us answer the question, why English? And, you know, why are we choosing this, and how does that inform our, you know, our goals in life? So, yeah, we're doing pretty great.
Liz, when you pose the question, why English, are you surprised at all by what you hear back?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is sometimes surprising. I think students surprise themselves because they've never actually thought about that question at like a deeper level. So, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I chose English and, you know, to go to medical school, but found out that was not my path. And so why am I here? But generally speaking, I mean, students study English because they love stories. They love the opportunity to sit with ideas for a longer period of time than other, you know, disciplines generally allow, and to really formulate well-researched, well-supported arguments. Research. A lot of them love teaching, which is just beautiful to see. I know Serena's one of those students that has the soul of an educator, and I think we have a lot of folks who are coming through our program who are just going to transform the next generations to come because of it.
Jerry, let's talk a bit more about teaching, because historically one career path for students of the humanities has been academia, you know, at the academy. But with college and universities really scaling back their programs, does this remain a viable option?
Well, education at all levels is transforming. At the college level, you are absolutely seeing the closing of small colleges, right? We've experienced that in town, the kind of shrinking of certain types of programs. So when I advise a student to go to graduate school, we always talk a lot about, you know, reasons to go and reasons not to go. And then while you're there, thinking about the many paths that you might be able to take this degree in, right? And having, you know, developing your skills. We have a program now at Marquette, a career diversity fellowship, where students are kind of placed not in a teaching role, but in an administrative role somewhere on campus or in some local agency, right? And are able to kind of learn a completely different mode
of interaction with the world than what teaching does. And I think that's really good as the world is changing. I do have optimism, right, as ChatGPT and these other machine learning devices kind of enter the world, there's going to be a lot of transformation. And a lot of the skills that English teaches are the things that can't yet be automated.
Okay. You brought up ChatGPT. We have to go there for just a moment. I mean, are you using it in classrooms? What is the discussion like? You know, what about the papers that students turn in?
So there, I mean, there's conversation about that across the board, right?
Sure.
You know, I know the academic integrity director. He works in my department, right? He's getting a lot of new types of plagiarism and maybe possible plagiarism cases that we didn't get before. ChatGPT, you know, some of us use it in the classroom to just kind of show what the machine can do and kind of, you know, you challenge the students, right? Well, if this is what the machine can do, what can the human do, right? Mm. In the games class, it was a huge part of our conversation because this kind of artificial intelligence is so important in games, and game design creates these agents that you can interact with, have these weird parasocial relationships with, and it also kind of challenges us again to think about what it is to be human, right? Games are a space that always feels like unique to human beings until the machines can beat us in chess or Jeopardy or Go or something, right? And then we freak out a little bit, right? What's left for us? A machine can play chess better than a human.
We mere mortals.
Yeah.
Liz, before we go, I really want to ask you about this column you published for Inside Higher Ed and responded to a call to discount tuition for humanities majors. What troubles you about that suggestion?
Well, I think it goes back to what we talked about, you know, at the top of the hour. If we discount our major, what are we telling people? That we're of value? You know, I personally don't want, you know, folks choosing us just because we're the discount major. I mean, values really money. And money is important. That's a big factor to consider with, you know, college, because I know it's expensive, but I think it's just devaluing ourselves and what we do. And it's, you know, it's compounding to the fact of we have not been good at telling our story in the humanities. And I think it's starting to show now. You know, upper administration, you know, thinks that they can just, you know, get rid of classics departments without any bigger thought of, well, what is this going to do long term? And, you know, I mean, the humanities, the other dirty secret, to go back to what Jerry was saying, we bring in a lot of money for the university. I mean, everyone has to take first year writing. That money goes to our college and to our department. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's a multifaceted problem, but I think it's, if we go down to start discounting majors, we are on a slippery, slippery slope.
Well, thank you all for joining us in this discussion.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Serena Jameson, Dean of Culture at Pathways High in Milwaukee, holds a master's in English from Marquette. Liz Angeli, Associate Professor of English at Marquette. And Jerry Canavan, Associate Professor and Chair of Marquette's English Department. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.